John chapter 6, we find in the opening 20 or so verses of this chapter the very familiar words of the feeding of the 5,000, that part of history is chronicled here in the Word of God. John chapter 6. We want to break in at the verse 22, which is really the follow-on. It is the instruction, it is the teaching that Jesus Christ himself taught as the basis of the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What signs showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one seeth the Son, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, seeth he which is of God? He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We'll end the reading there. We know that God's blessing will follow it to our hearts for his name's sake. We'll momentarily just pause and we'll seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our Father, we supplicate thy throne of heavenly grace. We pray for endowment, we pray for power, and we claim thy promised Holy Spirit to fill us now to the uttermost. Thank God, he undertakes for us. Give enabling grace, give understanding of mind and of soul. Lord, give spiritual perception. In thy name and for thy sake we ask these things, giving thanks. Amen and amen. Now, having entered into a boat, the Lord Jesus, accompanied by the 12 disciples, sailed over the waters of the Sea of Tiberias to another part of the shore. His intention was to rest a while. His intention was that he might teach the disciples, and in teaching them that they might learn and thereby grow in the knowledge and in the grace and in the goodness and in the likeness of Jesus Christ. The people, were told in the verse 2, saw the vessel depart, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. They were intent on following. They wanted more of what the Lord Jesus Christ offered. There were those who were yet sick amongst the people. They had seen the miracles that he had performed and done, and they knew that Jesus could heal them. Moreover, they hungered for the gracious words that poured forth from his lips. There were many that drew near. When you look at verse 2, we're told a great multitude. Verse 5 says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company. So we have a great multitude, a great company. And we know from the narrative that there were 5,000 plus. There were 5,000 men, besides women and children. And then by an act of mysterious power and majesty, he performs what is perhaps the best known miracle performed by the Savior. No one could disclaim that miracle. Why? Because a great company was gathered in that place. A great multitude. No one could disclaim it. No one could discredit it. He fed a multitude of 5,000 plus. And he was in the wilderness. There wasn't a Tesco store around the corner for the disciples to run to and to fill the trolley with food or a Mutri's. No one could discredit the miracle. No one could disclaim it. It was performed in the wilderness. The feeding of the 5,000. It forms the backdrop for his teaching on the subject of the bread of heaven. And again we discover that Jesus Christ is taking an everyday illustration to bring home to the heart of his hearer profound doctrine. The content of these verses we read is not confusing. It is a very simple message, is the message of the gospel. And so, this message, which I seek by the grace and with the help of God to bring to you today, I trust that you will see Jesus, the bread of life, and his willingness to feed a hungry nation. There are a number of things that I want to point out to you tonight as God gives us the help. Firstly, I want you to see the source of the bread. The source of the bread. You know, in our day we have quality control checks. They are common. They are a standard feature of our day. There are many that will boast of the fact that you can trace a particular side of beef to a particular farm of land. If you go into a supermarket, you will see that the products have their batch code. That again is quality control. It can be sourced to its original point. But when we think of the source of bread as we find in our text in the verse 35 of John chapter 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I want to say to you today that the source of this bread can be traced. And the source is divine. Here in the narrative, we uncover the true nature of Jesus Christ, that he was divine. Heavenly is his origin. We spent some time in that this morning. And how unlike that is to us. Just turn back in your Bible to the opening book, to the opening chapters, to the book of Genesis. Here in Genesis in the chapter 2. Chapter 1 recounts to us the days of creation. In the verse 7 of chapter 2, it gives us this information. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There we have the source. Our source. There we have where man came from. The dust of the ground. That is confirmed for us again in the verse 19 of the chapter 3 of Genesis. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's the source of our origin. Every single man, every single woman, every single boy, every single girl, that is the source of our origin. We're from the dust of the ground. But not so Jesus Christ. His origin is heavenly. Notice what he says. Here in John 6 in the verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Now, did you notice something important there? Jesus said, I am. Now, you may say, well, what of that? Remember to whom he was speaking at this time. He was speaking to the Jewish population. They did not miss what he was saying when he quoted, I am the bread of life. They did not miss that. They knew what he was getting at. And what he was getting at was simply this, the source of his origin. Where he came from. Who he was and what he is. I am. Where did you read of that? We'll turn back again to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Do you remember when Moses was commissioned by God to go and to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage? Moses complained. Moses argued with God at the outset. He said in verse 11, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Who am I?" And when God settled that argument in his heart, he raised another argument. It's found in the verse 13, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am is Jehovah. I am is God." And when you take that back to the words of Jesus in John chapter 6 and the verse 35, when Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life," they knew immediately what he was getting at. The source. That his source is divine. He is divine. He's both God and man in two distinct natures, and yet one person forever. Now notice, as we've looked here at verse 35 of John chapter 6, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." Look at verse 48. "I am that bread of life." It's repeated. Repeated again. Jesus is restating his claim. He must have known that it would be so in our day as it was in his own day that men would want proof. You see, we live amidst a day when the Word of God is questioned and when the preaching of the Word of God is challenged. And Jesus Christ makes no mistake. He's very clear. He's precise as to the source of the bread and as to who he was, that he was divine. Now the source of this bread could be traced to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the great I Am. The one who spoke to Moses of old. And when you think of the I Am's of Scripture, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by name. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. All of those statements highlight his divinity, who he was, Jehovah. He was the one who spoke to Moses of old. He was there with God before the foundation of this world was set. The source is divine. And can I say as well that the source is true and genuine? Look at verse 32 of John chapter 6. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." The true bread. In our world, there is much that is false. There are the false prophets. There are the false preachers. There are the false counterfeit money. Checks that bounce. There is so much that is fraudulent. Passports and all the rest. We live in a world of fraud. But in the spiritual realm, there are those who will promise that they will fulfill and satisfy the longing heart, but they are false Christs. And Paul did marvel at the Galatians, how soon they were removed from the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another, but is perverse. He plainly says in the verse 32, "But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." The true bread. Here is the badge of authenticity. The true bread from heaven. There you have again the source. And just look at this portion that we read. How many times do you see the word "from heaven" mentioned? Underline it in your Bible. The verse 33 records it. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven." Verse 38. "For I came down from heaven." We see the argument taken up by the Jews in verses 41 and 42. And again the statement is how they say that "I am the bread which came down from heaven." But Jesus Christ is again the speaker in verse 50. "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven." Verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." It's not a mistake. This isn't idle repetition. Jesus Christ is making the point. And he is teaching those in that day who he was and what he was. My friends, why did he come? He is the bread of heaven. He is the manna of God. Why did he come? We are told in verse 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Now pause and think upon that for a moment. He giveth life unto the world. What is Scripture saying there? Is it not saying then that the world is dead? If Jesus Christ is coming to give life unto the world, then surely that means that the world is dead. Every single one of us, mere dust of the ground, we are dead in trespasses and in sin. Dead. Look at verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread," in other words, if any man eat of Christ, who is the bread of heaven, "he shall live forever." Do you see that? Verse 33 is saying, "He giveth life unto the world," a world that is dead, poisoned by sin. And here the bread which is Christ, in verse 51, is giving life. "He that eateth this bread, he shall live." And not just live, but live forever. It's forever. And read on. It doesn't stop there. It gets even more wonderful. "And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus Christ in verse 51 of the closing part is saying how he will give life to the world. And he is saying that he will give life to the world through his death. That's how he will give life to the world. Through his death. You know, the gospel is wonderful. Wonderful. Wonderful is God's love to us. It's wonderful. We have noticed here the source of this bread. Secondly, I want you to see the sufficiency of this bread. Whatever nourishment there is found in wholesome bread and your ormo loaf or your mother's pride or whatever it is, the sustenance received, it lasts only for a while. It's but a meager filling from a morsel of bread. Many times have you eaten today? Many times more will you eat? You've had your morsel of bread this morning, perhaps your tea and your toast. When it came to lunchtime, you had more food. And perhaps before you come out to God's house tonight, you had more food. And maybe when you go home tonight, you'll sit down for more food, maybe a cake or a bun, for a few more morsels. It only lasts for a while. It only lasts for a while. It doesn't last forever. But come back to John chapter 6. And just look at verse 12 that speaks of the events following the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6. We're told in the verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. The reference there in the verse 12 to the filling is from the morsel of bread, the loaves and the fishes. Here I believe it is referring to physical nourishment. The 5,000 plus that sat on the grassy banks of the Sea of Tiberias, they had their bellies filled. Yes, their bellies filled with a morsel of bread. Verse 22 says, the day following. Now we're looking at a new day. And we commenced our reading from that point. This is the next day. Now come down to verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Jesus had fed them. Yes, there was a miracle, but he fed them with physical bread. And it filled their bellies for a day. But the next day, they're hungering again. This was physical nourishment. But if having said that in verse 26, Jesus Christ now turns from the physical to the spiritual. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now Jesus Christ is beginning to teach man that man is more than mere primate being. And every primate, every monkey, every ape doesn't have a soul. They have bellies just the same as you and I. But you and I are different. And we didn't evolve from monkeys. You and I have a soul. And that soul lives forever. And just the same as your physical body needs food in order to live, so too does your soul. Your soul needs food. And your soul is dead in trespasses and in sin. And Jesus Christ was speaking to these people. And he's now beginning to teach them a spiritual lesson from the feeding of the 5,000. And that's what he says in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Not those things that fill your belly. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And bind that with verse 48, I am that bread of life. Surely that is pointing back to previous verses, and especially verse 27. That meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. There's a stark contrast in verse 27 from previous verses. Here is bread that endureth. It satisfies. It's sufficient to meet the need of those that are hungry. It satisfies the soul. If we look again at the lesson of the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 people were fed. Christ's supply chain was not vanquished. 12 disciples distributed the food. When everyone was filled, 12 disciples went forth and they gathered up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. That teaches you, that teaches me, that the resource, the power of Jesus Christ is not vanquished. Had there been 10,000 people there, every single one of them would have been fed. Had there been 20,000 or 50,000 or 1,000,000, every single one of them would have been physically fed. But the spiritual implication is this: if Christ, who is the bread of life, can satisfy the hunger of a great multitude, a great company, then surely he can satisfy your hunger. Surely you can be fed. I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet your spiritual needs. He can save your soul. He's able, he's willing to save your soul. Have you a guilty conscience? Are you under the wrath of God? Christ, the bread of life, can satisfy. Praise God, he can save you. We've seen here, and we've been talking about, as we think upon the sufficiency of this bread, the measure of sufficiency. Let me just talk to you for a moment about the means of satisfaction. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Here you see the means. It's coming. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. The gospel is not complicated. Being complicated. But the gospel is not complicated. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Jesus Christ has his hand outstretched to you in the gathering tonight that are hungering. Are you hungering for the things of God? Do you realize that you are a sinner in need of Christ's redemption? The gospel message is simple. He that cometh to me shall never hunger.
there is something which you as a sinner must do. And Jesus Christ is gracious and He will help you. You might feel that you cannot come of your own strength, and that is true. But He sees your heart and He knows your thoughts. And if you are willing to repent and to bow the knee and to call upon Him for mercy and redemption, if you want to come, He will feed you for time and for eternity. I trust tonight that you will come. There is so much more that I could say, but I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to leave it with an invitation to your heart. Come. Come to Jesus. Make no delay. Here in His Word, He has shown us the way. Come, for Jesus' sake.